As men and women of grace, we want sound speech. Now, look what I wrote on the board. God wants us to have sound speech. Now, in the New Testament, hugaino, that's a Greek word, is the word sound. Some of you, your Bibles will have Titus 2:8. It says sound speech. Or a modern translation will say healthy speech, because hugaino, that's the same word as hygiene, hygienic. Hugaino means healthy. Sound means there's no defects in it. So what God says he's looking for in Titus 2:8 is men and women, and get your Bible to Titus. Don't you wish some of you had tabs? Titus is hard to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. There it is. Philemon. Titus 2:8. Sound speech. Hugaino. Sound, healthy speech. Verse 8, that cannot be condemned, so that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. The Lord says he wants our talking to be so guarded by his Spirit that when enemies of Christ notice us, it's like when Jesus talked in his public ministry, the people that were sent to arrest him came back to the chief priests and rulers, and they said, "Where is he? Why didn't you arrest him?" They said, "We've never heard anybody talk that way." Now, that's not how I am. I couldn't talk soundly, but the new creation I am in Christ, by his grace, he can change the way I talk. So it's Titus 2:8. The next slide, healthy communication in an unhealthy world is God's plan for us. That's what the Lord wants from us. Basically, what God wants us to do is, in the next slide, he wants us to follow his healthy communication manual. Now, look up here, and I've written on the board, if you want to really grow in your understanding of healthy speech, okay, what is sound in God's sight? What really will make him delighted? Remember that proverb that says when we speak his truth, it delights our Creator? It's when we do this. Do you remember the biggest choice in life is whether we're going to live God's way with the transformation from the inside out that leads to us having sound words, rather than corrupt. See, that's another difference between the saved and the lost. Do you remember over here, Ephesians 4:29, which is right here in this healthy speech manual, don't let your words be corrupt, cutting, or rotting. So this slide, if you look at it, healthy communications is in Ephesians chapter 4 through 6. Now for the next 11 slides, I'm gonna just leave these slides in front of you, and I'm going to read these verses to you. And what I'd like you to do is find Ephesians 4:15, get your pen out and try and underline the part in each of these verses I have bolded, okay? So that's your little assignment for your note-taking from this course. Ephesians 4:15 says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." Speaking the truth in love. That's what God wants us to do. Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which goes corrupt according to deceitful lust. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness. Now look up from your verse. This is a choice. Putting off means I say, God, I don't want to talk that way anymore. Being renewed is the renewing of the Word of God. My mind gets renewed when I read this book prayerfully and when I surrender to the truth. When I say, God, I don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a what? Say it out loud. A doer of the word. And then, look back at the slide, you put on the new man. And so we put off when we repent, we get renewed in the word, and we put on. Keep looking at the slides, Ephesians 4:25, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth. That's an imperative. That's in a special form of the Greek verb so that we know it's a command. Always speak truth with your neighbor, for we're members of one another. Next slide, Ephesians 4:29 that I had on the board here for you. Let no corrupt. That let no is an imperative. It's a command. God commands us. Don't have corrupt, that's cutting and rotten words proceeding out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look how close that is to verse 29. Our words can grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and look what is next, and evil speaking, that's another imperative, be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, here's God's speech plan for us. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Next slide in our communications manual. By the way, look up from the slides for a second. Did you know this is the most comprehensive guide to how God wants anyone to speak in the whole Bible? Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 have 11 passages that say, talk this way, talk this way, talk this way. It's godly, it's God's will. It's the way of the new creation we are in Christ. It's how we please God and He delights in us. What does that look like? Look at Ephesians 5, 4. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For just a second, look up. I went into a staff meeting once. This is honestly what happened. I was pastoring an amazing church. There were 25 or 30 people on staff. There were six pastors. We were sitting around the table. We were about ready to start our Bible study, and one of the pastors had not shown up yet. I don't remember which one of the pastors. He was one of the older pastors. And we were all sitting there with our Bible, and I said, does anybody know where, and I said his name is. Instantly, one of the pastors sitting right there said, oh, he's still having his coffee at Hooters. Now, if you don't know what Hooters is, it's like a bar where girls wear swimming suits and kind of are evocative in the way they dress. And of course, no pastor, well, no Christian should go there, and certainly no pastor should go there. And everyone around the table just started laughing and laughing just as this pastor walked through the door. And they all were snickering and laughing and sat down. And I didn't say anything. And after a minute, I turned and looked at him. I said, could we all open our Bibles now after you kind of introduce our topic this morning? And he smiled. I mean, he not only had said something that made everybody laugh, but now he was the focus of our Bible study. And I said, let's all turn to Ephesians 5:4. So look down now at your slide. I looked at him and I said, could you read Ephesians 5:4? And he read, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. And I don't need to tell you that that was a moment none of those staff pastors ever forgot. Why? Because we forget that we're never supposed to surrender our tongue as a tool of the devil to. It was a joke because everyone knew that pastor would never go to that bar. But that's called foolish talking, coarse talking, jesting. It's foolish. It's surrendering our tongue to the devil. Don't ever allow Satan to captivate your tongue to harm someone else. But most of all, displease the one who wants to delight in our talking. Okay, back down the slides. Ephesians 5:6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Don't have empty words. 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. We're supposed to use our words to expose. Verse 12, it's shameful to even speak of the things which are done of them in secret. But 5:19 says, but speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My mouth is going to be so full of giving thanks and praise that doesn't have room for coarse, foolish jesting or complaining. God says in chapter 6, verse 9, "And you masters do the same thing to them, giving up threatening." If you're in any kind of leadership position, if you're a parent, if you're a boss, if you're any kind of team leader, don't threaten people, knowing you have a master also in heaven and there's no partiality with him. The next one is 6:19 of Ephesians, and it says this. It was a prayer. Paul says, "For me, Paul, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Wow. Look up from your slides. That's what God wants from us. We're supposed to be his ambassador, and every time we open our mouth, I'm speaking on behalf of God. I'm his ambassador. And 6:19 says, I want to speak boldly. I want to open my mouth in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be known as God's ambassador. When I lived in Los Angeles on staff with Dr. MacArthur, the Los Angeles Times newspaper used to call Grace Community Church office, the receptionist, and say, "Could you find out from Dr. MacArthur what God has to say about whatever the current issue was?" What they were asking is, does the Bible speak to what's going on in our culture? And they knew that Dr. MacArthur was connected to God, and they wanted to know what God had to say. Is that what people think about you? Are you his ambassador? That's what we can start being today. One last thing before we go.